Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and to HighSpeedWeb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Well, Dr. Jim Rex is with us today. He is the chair of the rapidly growing Alliance Party here in the United States of America, third party that is trying to get some legs going and make a difference in how politics works in this country. Pretty good, huh?
Not bad. We might put you on the payroll.
Yeah.
But I warn you in advance, there is no payroll.
So, Jim, tell everybody just a little bit about your background before we get into the Alliance Party.
Well, you're looking at a political relic.
Former state school superintendent. Yeah, I wouldn't call you a relic.
But the relic part of it is that I hold the distinction, if it's that, of being the last Democrat elected to a statewide office in South Carolina.
Wow.
And that was in 2006. I served from 2007 to 2011, four-year term. So I'm going on my second decade. I feel a little bit like Michael Jordan, you know, those records that athletes hold that people keep shooting for.
Yeah.
So I've always told people I may end up in a museum wall somewhere, you know, last Democrat elected to office in South Carolina for statewide office. So I kind of know what it's like to run as a third-party candidate. Running as a Democrat for a statewide office in South Carolina is a bit like that.
Well, and what's so interesting to me has been the story about how you paired up with a friend of yours by the name of Dr. Oscar Lovelace. He's a what would you call him, an old Republican relic?
Yeah, I'm an old Democratic relic. Yeah, he's a Republican.
And the two of you guys were kind of fed up with the way politics was progressing in this state of South Carolina. You put together the American Party SC to try to make a difference, and you worked on that, and you worked on it, and you worked on it, and now it's kind of morphed into something bigger than the American Party SC.
Much bigger. About 18 months ago, a group of us met in Denver, Colorado. I say a group of us. These were representatives of other state-level third parties, sort of centrist, like-minded parties.
Right.
In some ways analogous to the American Party you talked about. And all of us agreed that we were making progress, quote-unquote, but that our problems as a nation were growing much, much faster than any solutions we were creating. And that the only way to responsibly deal with those problems, the magnitude of those problems, was to see if we could create a viable, competitive, national third party. But not just a party, Manning. More importantly than that, a different approach to politics. We don't just need another party. God knows we have enough tribes in this country right now dividing us up and keeping us from having any kind of unified approach to solving our problems. So we wanted to create a different approach. We ratified a charter 18 months ago in Denver and created the Alliance Party. And before I forget, for your listeners, if they want to learn more, because we'll only be able to touch the surface today, I'm sure, they can go to our website, put THE in front, thealliancepartycom. That's the national website. And then put SC in front if they want to look at the South Carolina affiliate, the South Carolina Alliance Party. So that's SCTheAllianceParty.com.
Okay, good. SCTheAllianceParty.com is will get you to the local one. Okay, good. So
we formed this.
So how many third party organizations came together to create this Alliance Party?
Initially, it was seven parties. the American Moderates, the Modern Whig Party, which was in a number of different states, and some others. But since then, we've added even more. So it's a growing alliance, which is part of the reason for the name. The Independent Party of Minnesota, which was Jesse Ventura's party, he won governorship, is now part of the alliance. The Reform Party, Ross Perot's old party, is now part of the alliance, and they're merging with us in Florida. Florida will be the first state, but the Reform Party is also merging with us. The Independent Party of Connecticut has also merged with us now. So we're at about 30 states where we have affiliates. And we're in the process now of firming those up, but more importantly, achieving ballot access for those parties in those states, not only for our down-ballot candidates, which we can talk about if you like, but also for our presidential candidate for November of 2020. So ballot access is a big deal, and I don't want to bore your listeners with it other than to say that the Republican and Democratic parties, which have a phenomenally strong monopoly, probably the strongest in history when you think about it, they have put in place in every state barriers to competition, anti-competitive barriers. So it's extremely hard to get on the ballot to compete with them. They don't agree on much, but they do agree on that. Let's keep anybody else out of this game.
But is that legal?
Well, it's been challenged for its constitutionality in numerous states. It usually is struck down, but the parties have such vast resources to lawyer this thing that it takes a lot of money and a lot of time to change the ballot access rules. So it's changing, and ironically, while we're on the subject, the virus has actually assisted somewhat and loosening up some of these unreasonable and unconstitutional barriers to competition, because the petitioning that's usually required, sometimes tens and tens of thousands, even more than 100,000 signatures in some states, can no longer be done legally, face-to-face, because of the restrictions of the virus. So there's litigation underway, and in some cases, governors and secretaries of states have done this voluntarily. They've allowed the petitioning process to be done online as opposed to face-to-face. And in some cases, they've even waived some of those requirements for this election cycle in the name of public safety. So, you know, I used this phrase with you just before the program went on, that sometimes the greatest gifts in life come in poorly wrapped packages. The easing up of some of these ballot access restrictions is one of the results of the virus that probably no one could have anticipated.
So you think you're going to make 30 states or more?
We're going to make enough states to get the 207 electoral votes that are required to win the presidency. That's our goal. We'll have, I think, more than 30 states. Initially, we were hoping by 2020 November to have all 50 states. It's just impossible because of the barriers. But I think we can get on the ballot in somewhere between 30 and 50 states.
So once you're on the ballot in that state, the next 4 years, will you be on there automatically again?
Depends on the state. In some states, like South Carolina, once you're on in perpetuity as long as you keep having candidates in every election cycle. In some states, once you get on, you have to get a certain percentage of votes in that first election in order to stay on, or you have to go back through the whole process again.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, that's the kind of stuff that is unconstitutional, obviously. I mean, it's like telling a freshman in high school when he goes out for the football team, if you don't make first string in your freshman year, you can't play football any longer.
So how is it that you became the chairman, or whatever the appropriate title is, the grand poopah of the Alliance Party? Were you absent from a meeting or what?
Well, I initially agreed to be vice chair.
Yeah.
And I did that on the condition that my friend Oscar Loveless, who you mentioned earlier, who helped co-found the American Party, would take over the state chair.
Right.
Because I couldn't do both.
Right.
After about 6 months, the person who was functioning as the national chair had to leave that role, and I was, as you said, probably absent from the meeting where this collusion was put together, but I was asked and agreed to be the national chair.
Good for you. That's quite an honor, I would think.
Well, it's like a lot of honors in life. It's a mixed bag. It takes a tremendous amount of time and effort. It takes a lot away from my family and my wife especially. But it's hard to come up with anything much more important than trying to make this country better, stronger, and more viable for the future. And the two-party system is failing us miserably. And more Americans understand that, but they don't have that alternative. They don't have another choice. And, you know, most of us as Americans want choices. We want it in life, and we certainly ought to get it on the ballot.
All right, so you're organized. You're going to be hopefully on the ballot in more than 30 or 35 states, certainly enough to give you the magical number of electoral votes that you would need should your candidate become successful to get affirmed. What are your next steps on this? It's one thing to be on the ballot. It's quite another to make people aware we're even here.
Yeah.
Right?
And you have to do both. You know, neither they're both necessary, but neither is sufficient. You have to be on the ballot in order to win. And secondly, you have to have a candidate and a message that resonates. But you can't make it resonate until people hear about you.
Right.
So we thought up until very recently, really a month ago, that we would probably enter the 2020 election without a presidential candidate. We had talked to a number of possibilities. Howard Schultz, the former CEO of Starbucks, was one of the people mm-hmm. we had 4 or 5 meetings with. He decided not to run, but he fit. He fit what we stand for. He was an independent. He realized the two-party system is the culprit in mm-hmm. many of the things that are not working. But that fell through because he decided not to run. We talked to some others, and we really didn't. We had to find a fit, because the presidential candidate will be a big part of our branding, you know,
sure.
as a national party. We finally came up with that candidate. He approached us. His name is Rocha De La Fuente. He's a first American. He's a first generation Mexican American. He's from California, San Diego. Very successful, self-made businessman, the American dream, sort of epitomized. Both of his parents came from Mexico. He's born in the United States. He has the financial resources to help us build this party and also to be a viable candidate, sort of in the role of a Ross Perot.
Right.
Remember what he ran. Rocky De La Fuente has run before. He ran in the presidential primary in the Democratic Party in 2016. And he, like Bernie Sanders, was sort of assassinated from within the party by Debbie Wasserman Schultz and others,
yeah.
who had decided that they knew who the next presidential candidate should be, and that was Hillary Clinton. So he's tried to change the system from within, as have I, and has decided that the only way to change it is to run as a third-party candidate. So that's why he came to us. His running mate is Darcy Richardson. Darcy is a historian, an author, a businessman. He ran for governor of Florida as a Reform Party candidate in the last election and did very well, had double-digit numbers, and probably determined the outcome of that election by his candidacy. So that's our top of the ticket.
So if I had both those gentlemen around the table here today at Substation 2, my first question is, tell me not only about yourselves, because you've already done that, but what is it that you stand for? What is it that this Alliance Party is offering me as somebody who's only had a choice between a Democrat or a Republican in the past?
Well, all of our candidates, including these two gentlemen in the Alliance Party, have to sign a candidate agreement with the party. And that's sort of the beginning point. It requires them to agree to term limits. Now, that's not an issue with the U.S. presidency because it's already term limited, but it is with Congress and state legislature. They also have to agree to have their tax returns publicized on their campaign website from the 3 most current years. So that level of transparency. So they meet our original criteria of being motivated by public service, not by having long careers in politics. But more importantly, they are not ideologues. They're problem solvers. And their first responsibility is not to the party. Their first responsibility is to their constituents, in this case, the American people. And their task is to address those issues, and especially those existential issues, that are not being addressed adequately by the two-party system. And, you know, right now, those fall into just a handful of categories. First of all, our dramatic increased need for economic renewal because of the virus. We have a global recession, and we're teetering on the edge of a global depression that, as you and I were talking about earlier, Manning, will rival what happened to us after World War II. Mm. And that's kind of baked into the cake. So an approach to that that does not divide the nation, unifies the nation, and that does not depend upon ideologies that get in the way. But then we have climate change, which is an existential threat that is not going away just because of the virus. It's probably going to be worsened in some ways. We have health care. We have to do a better job with our health care in this country. It's eating up too much of our budget, and we're getting too inadequate outcomes in terms of our people. And there's also education. We cannot be the innovation nation we need to be for the future and continue to lead the world in terms of our economic sustainability without having a better educated and trained workforce. So all of those things are the top of the agenda.
What about the national debt?
Well, the national debt is in that economic renewal.
Okay.
We have to have a plan. And by the way, this country doesn't have a lot of plans, as you may have noticed in the last few months. We kind of lurch from issue to issue, problem to problem, crisis to crisis. We need a plan, and the best analogy is what happened after World War II. We need to look at our ratio of national debt to our gross domestic product. And it's not a number, it's a ratio. And the reason that's important is you can grow the denominator, not just the numerator. So the debt comes down as your gross domestic product goes up.
Sure.
So we have to grow this economy in a way that holds our national debt where it is, keep it from exploding, which has happened in recent months, and at the same time, build our infrastructure, have a less carbonized economy, climate change, have an education system that works, and a healthcare system that works for the majority of Americans. Those last two things can actually create jobs, infrastructure especially, the green economy. So we can grow our economy as we did after World War II. We built, you know, interstate highways. Mm. We built the middle class. You know, we had the GI Bill for education. The greatest generation's greatest gift to us was a way to reimagine what America could look like after World War II. We need to reimagine what America can look like after the coronavirus. America 2.0.
You know, with that being said, you think about how dysfunctional Washington, D.C. is. Both parties have talked about an infrastructure bill,
yeah,
trillions of dollars, let's get out there and do it, and they can't agree on how to do it.
Right.
How stupid.
Well, if you want to talk about stupidity, why don't you also add in the fact that I've done this on your program, but much better authorities than I have been warning us for decades about the pandemic. You know, and then we've had Ebola, we've had SARS, we've had, you know, the bird flu, we've had all kinds of things that were shots across our bow saying, look, this is coming. This is not a black swan. This is not an unpredictable event. This was highly predictable. It was only a question of if, not, it was only a question of when, not if.
Right.
And yet we were totally unprepared. So when you look at what our two-party system has been doing in terms of solving problems or anticipating problems, it's been dismal.
Dismal is an understatement. And with that, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you're listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. There's a magical way we do it. We all say it together at the count of three, those magic white letters. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
How's this for March Madness? As the world changes, so is our service to our friends at Substation 2. Effective immediately, whether you call in, fax, or order online at mysubstation2.com, we'll bring your order out to your car, or you can stay at home for home delivery. Isn't a great sub or salad from Substation 2 just what you need at a time like this?
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Our lives have changed tremendously lately. Founders Federal Credit Union wants you to know we are here for you. While our world right now may be uncertain, your money at Founders is not. Founders Federal Credit Union is fully backed by the NCUA, and Founders members have many ways to access their money at Founders. Our drive-thrus remain open, many with extended hours. Our ATMs are fully serviced. Founders Online and the Founders app are available to you 24/7. Relax. We are your credit union, and we are here for you. Not a member of Founders? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to apply for membership.
My concern is, let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attacks, stroke. Those things are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nosaka expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
People are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
How's this for March Madness? As the world changes, so is our service to our friends at Substation 2. Effective immediately, whether you call in, fax, or order online at mysubstation2.com, we'll bring your order out to your car, or you can stay at home for home delivery. Isn't a great sub or salad from Substation 2 just what you need at a time like this?
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Jerry Rhoda across from Winthrop. Dr. Jim Rex is with us today. He's now the not superintendent of education in the state of South Carolina. He is the national chairman of the brand new Alliance Party, which is emerging here in the United States of America, trying to give people another option besides Democrat or Republican. And this is no easy job. Just to get on the ballot in the various states is certainly a challenge in itself, but they feel very confident that they will be on the ballot in probably 35 states or so, which is a tremendous start. They've got a national ticket. But what about, Jim, candidates for the most dysfunctional part of government, which is the United States Congress? Are you working on that as well?
We are. We're adding down-ballot candidates, and this, again, varies by state in terms of when they have to file, when they're nominated, when they run in primaries. In South Carolina, we've already gone through that process. In Texas, they've already gone through it. So we've got a couple of dozen candidates right now. We'll be adding to that over the summer. I'm guessing when I give you a number, but I would say we'll have somewhere between 50 and 70 candidates running with our national ticket. Rocky De La Fuente and Darcy Richardson. A number of those are running for the U.S. Congress, Senate and House. In South Carolina, we have Sonny Narang, who is running for the U.S. Congress against Joe Wilson down in Columbia. This is a heck of a challenge, you're right, because even if you can change the presidency, we all know how dysfunctional the Congress is. And when I say we all know, we really do. All the polls show that the vast majority of Americans feel like it's dysfunctional. And some people think it will take many lifetimes to change it, but not necessarily. And there's a theory. It's a theory because we haven't been able to put it in practice yet, called the fulcrum theory, which says that if
it's like a seesaw.
Yeah.
If you can upset the balance.
Right.
There you go.
And you've got in the U.S. Senate, which is a good example, you know, the U.S. Senate fluctuates back and forth, as we all know if we've lived for a little while, between control by the Republicans and control by the Democrats. And the difference is usually a handful of votes, 3-4 votes. And we see how important those votes are and how the parties, you know, obsess over winning the Senate to keep that majority of 2 or 3 votes. Okay, so if you can have third-party candidates and or independents form a coalition, a new caucus, if you will, that takes away control of the U.S. Senate from either the Republicans or the Democrats, the world changes overnight.
Oh, yeah.
Because all of a sudden, it's not my way or the highway. You're the enemy. You're the evil opposition. Now it's, how do we get anything passed? And the way you get things passed is you go to this group in the center, this new caucus, handful of people, and you get the moderate, reasonable U.S. senators, and there are some. They're not allowed to be now because of the way our two-party system works. But they're there who can never cross over and work with the Democrats directly, or they'll be defeated in their next election.
Right.
Never cross over and work with the Republicans directly if they're Democrats. But they can work with the new independent caucus, which can draft the bills and try to get support from both parties. And that would begin to happen. Otherwise, the U.S. Senate would come to a standstill. So suddenly, cooperation, compromise would be in vogue again, the way it used to be, when our Republican and Democratic parties actually had people who were willing to work together for the betterment of the nation. That has ceased, and everybody knows that.
Sure.
And part of that, there's a lot of reasons for that, but part of it is the way the parties control their candidates. Part of it is gerrymandering, the way the districts are designed. So you're seen as a rhino, or you're seen as a not true Democrat if you work with the other side. It used to be valued, now it's demonized. That's how we change Congress.
So you've got 50 candidates. You hope to have 50 to 70 candidates across the country. Some of those will be running for congressional seats, either the House or the Senate. Obviously, the easiest target would be the Senate, because there's only a much smaller majority there than there is in the House.
In terms of the fulcrum.
In terms of the fulcrum theory.
Right.
How many senatorial candidates do you think you might have?
Again, we're still adding candidates in our different states because of when filing and nominations take place. I'm hoping to have a dozen.
Wow. Woo-hoo.
So,
well, that'd be something.
But it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's a statewide race.
So you get all these candidates, and you just mentioned the tough and most difficult thing is, how do you make people aware of this? Now, we've got your websites, sctheallianceparty.com. Or just go to theallianceparty.com.
Right.
Either way.
Put the in front, the Alliance Party.
Yeah, thealliancepartycom or sctheallianceparty.com. And that'll get you to all the information. But how do you make the general public aware? I mean, you've got a wonderful tool called social media, which if you use properly can give you a lot of exposure.
Yeah, social media gives us some advantages, but also some disadvantages, because in this election, this will be the most expensive election in the history of mankind.
Oh, I know. They're talking billions.
Oh, we're talking probably trillion. Combine it, probably $1 trillion spent by the Republicans and Democrats. And a lot of that is going to be spent on social media. It was going to be anyway, but now that we have the virus in play, we're going to see it even more so.
Mm.
So it's not an even playing field, even on the field of social media. I guess we have to assume that a good message is worth something.
Right.
You know, that I'd rather spend half the money or a third of the money or a fraction of the money on a good message as opposed to one that most people don't believe anymore. Most Americans, all the polls show this, believe that politicians regularly lie to them, that both parties stand for virtually nothing other than remaining in power, getting reelected. So that's the message they're going to spend billions of dollars on trying to deliver. And most of it will be trial. It'll be, don't vote for us, vote against them.
I knew we run out of time, which makes me mad, because this is always an interesting interview. So you're going to have to come back up again. Maybe you can bring Rocco with you, huh? Bring him next time.
Maybe so.
All right.
We're traveling by then.
That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Again, those websites, thealliancepartycom. Or sctheallianceparty.com. That'll get you to two websites. Take a look and see what's going on, because it's an interesting dynamic that is underway. That'll wrap up our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. How do we do it? 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.
South Carolina's most honored radio station, News Talk 100.1 WRHI Rock Hill, W261 CY Rock Hill, the voice of York County,
and OTS Media Station.